Blog Talk Radio.
I did not believe in the Raptors. I did not believe in their history. I did not believe in the odds. I didn't believe in anyone on that team, not named Kawhi Leonard. And I didn't think that Kawhi alone was enough to believe in this team. Like, I just did not see it. I didn't see it against Philly. I thought the Sixers were going to knock out the Raptors. And I certainly didn't see it against Milwaukee, who I had picked to go to the finals out of the East from the very beginning of the season. That was always my pick, was Milwaukee. I know Milwaukee had early success against the Raptors, early success against period. I mean, this is the best team of the regular season. Milwaukee, Giannis, the best player. Him and Harden, I guess, went back and forth once the Rockets turned it on. But for the most part, Giannis was the best player this season, and Milwaukee was the best team. And I just did not see it. Did not believe in the Raptors, didn't believe in their history, man, and their odds. You have four teams who had a chance to make it out of the East, like a legitimate chance to make it out of the East. The Raptors, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics, all the teams that we thought were good enough to make it out of the East. And I believe in the Raptors the least. Like, you could have always made the case that they had the best player in Kawhi Leonard, even with Giannis having the season that he did. But given their tendency to wet the bed in the postseason, given the fact that they have not accomplished much of anything as a franchise since they hit the scene in the mid-90s, like, that just was not the team that I felt like I could believe in, especially given the recent history. So I thought Milwaukee, I thought that Philly had the most talented starting five of anybody in the East, and they were long. I didn't think that Toronto had enough talent to combat Philly's length and talent. I didn't think that they could do it. They did that. I mean, I was wrong about all of that. I was wrong about everything when it came to Toronto. Even, I guess you could say, even underestimating Kawhi. Because, like, while it's been long understood that Kawhi is one of the elite players in the league, he didn't play last year for the most part. And I just guess it's been understated for me how impactful he can be on a game. Like, he can absolutely take over a game on both sides, on both ends of the floor. He was Toronto's best option on offense, as we know. And then on the other end, he's shutting down Giannis. Well, he's at least making it difficult on Giannis. He's making him uncomfortable. Imagine that. Like, imagine watching Giannis throughout this season dominate his opponents, watch him flourish into the player that he became, and then he gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, and there's a guy who, like, we kind of forgot about, who actually, like, makes it hard on him, makes basketball look tough on Giannis. Like, we've all known that his game needs development. He needs to develop an outside shot. There's plenty. He's still a raw talent, but one thing you could say about Giannis this season is that the game looked really easy to him. Basketball seemed to really be coming easy to Giannis this season. It was not the case against the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard guarding him. And sure, this is a defensive player of the year type of guy we're talking about, finals MVP type of guy we're talking about. I didn't forget that, but I did underestimate it and what it could mean for a team. I mean, the Raptors, to be fair to them, and I guess a knock on my lack of belief in them, this was a team that was just a Kawhi Leonard, a star, superstar caliber player away from being what they are now. You can look at DeMar DeRozan trade all you want, and I know DeMar's got to be like, man, just don't even come to me right now, because this is like, you know, this is like the double whammy. Like, he didn't want to leave in the first place, and now not only did he get kicked out, did they send him away, but they like his replacement so much better. There's an obvious analogy here that is just really uncomfortable that you know has got to be the case for DeMar DeRozan. But they had to make this move, and it just makes so much sense now. Now that you see Kawhi go out there and perform the way he did. Like, this game, or I should say this series, is going to be analyzed from the standpoint of, you know, Milwaukee had a 2-0 lead and lost three straight for the first time all season. And, of course, that obviously means that they lost four straight for the first time all season. And, like, how could that happen? How could a team this good all year lose four games in a row? And people are going to look at them and be critical of them for good reason. But I don't think that this is a case of the Bucks. It's not a case of them collapsing as much as it is the Raptors just playing so much better. Just playing so much better. Going home and playing so much better at home to tie the series, right? And then everything really, really shifts in game five when Milwaukee inexplicably allows Fred VanVleet to hit seven threes. I mean, that was the difference in that game. Of course, Kawhi was fantastic as well, but the series swings in game five when the Raptors still won in Milwaukee. And I think that Milwaukee played well enough in game six to win the game. They obviously had a lead and lost it. But this was about Toronto, a team that I admittedly did not believe in. So it'll be an interesting series watching the Warriors, who I fully expected to be here, against the Raptors, who I guess I just had not actually even considered would be here, given their history. One thing that's really interesting about the Eastern Conference Finals that I think we can take away from it, or at least consider while we have however many days until the finals, about 5 days until the finals start. What are these two teams going to look like next year? Toronto and Milwaukee. Because we like to think of them as young, up-and-coming teams or teams with potential, but we know their situations, and we know that these teams are not necessarily built for the future, even if there is youth attached to it. Like the fact that Giannis is only 24, does nothing for the fact that Chris Middleton is a free agent and could command more than $13 million on his player option coming up next year, and that it might be hard to sign him, and it might be hard to replace him and find a guy, a second guy to go with Giannis in Milwaukee through some other means. Where do you find that guy? Brook Lopez, also a free agent. George Hill, who turned out to be better than the guy that they have locked up, at least in the postseason, which is Eric Bledsoe. He's a free agent, and he's ancient. This team is not necessarily built for the future, not yet. Giannis built for the future. Milwaukee, the Bucks, not necessarily. At least they have a lot of questions going into next season. So we do not know if they're going to be able to run this thing back. And then, of course, the situation with the Raptors, we know. Look, wouldn't it shock you now if Kawhi left? Wouldn't it shock you now? I mean, I thought that shot, the Game 7 shot to beat Philly, where the ball bounced 1,000 times in the rim before it went in, I thought that was going to be enough to keep him there. Even if they lost this series, that would be enough for him to at least consider staying in Toronto. Where is it going to get better exactly? If you're there and you're making this work, like I think that Toronto, much like San Antonio was, is right up his alley. Like, I don't think it was the culture of San Antonio that got in the lead. It was something very much directly related to a dispute over that injury, which we still don't know anything about. But it would surprise me if Kawhi left at this point. Most people think he's leaving. He's got family on social media that seems to be indicating that he's probably leaving. But that looks like a good situation for him. We don't know. We don't know if both of these teams, Milwaukee and Toronto, are flashes in the pan. What is this supposed to look like? Don't exactly have the answer. Can't say we know what. Like, we've heard Kawhi. I feel like in these last couple of series, because they've been so good and Kawhi's been so great, that we've heard Kawhi speak more than, like, I can remember. But we still don't know anything more about him or any more about how he's, like, wired and what he's motivated by. So, like, what is he – what exactly is making him tick? And I think the situation with San Antonio makes it more mysterious because that was – an ideal situation seemed, right? That was a situation that worked. How many great players that found themselves in terrible organizations would have loved to have been coached by Pop and to have been guided by the Spurs organization to have won a championship, competed for another, and won a finals MVP? I mean, the Spurs are sort of the model franchise in the NBA. How did that not work? If he can leave that place, he can certainly leave Toronto, right? That just makes sense. That is logic. So I get that. But I'm looking at what they've been able to get done, and I'm looking at how that's working, and I'm thinking, man, you might want to go ahead and just run that back. Might want to go ahead and run that back. The best thing for Kawhi is that he's so great that he truly holds the cards, and like wherever he goes, he's probably going to move the needle. So like he could put him on any good team, and that team is great. That team has a chance to go to the finals. He's one of those guys. I wasn't talking about him as best player in the league a couple of weeks ago. Or certainly not before the playoffs, but that's just my mistake. Again, didn't believe in the war. I'm sorry, didn't believe in the Raptors. Didn't believe in their history. Didn't believe in the odds, given that four teams in the Eastern Conference had a chance to make it. Didn't believe in anyone not named Kawhi Leonard, and there you got Fred VanVleet talking about hold my beer. I'm gonna knock down 7 threes in game 5 of these conference finals and help us take this 3-2 lead back to the house. There's Kyle Lowry like, yeah, I actually am good. Especially at home. There's Marc Gasol like waking up, like just waking the hell up. I'm starting to play some defense to knock down a couple of shots. Pascal Siakam, who I just could not believe in as a second best player, and he is their second best player, I think. Kyle Lowry, no disrespect to Kyle Lowry, I think Pascal Siakam at his best is their second best player. Perhaps if you want to go respect and accomplishments, you can go ahead and go Kyle Lowry, but Pascal Siakam probably has the highest ceiling outside of Kawhi on that team. But the fact that that came out of nowhere and he showed this huge improvement over last year made it really hard for me to believe in him as a second, even third option over what I thought Milwaukee had going for itself. Again, I don't think the Bucks so much choked as much as the Raptors just really came and punched them in the mouth. Like they got choked. The Bucks got choked, as opposed to choking themselves. Very impressed by what the Raptors have been able to do, man. I feel like in sports, you know, when we make these picks, when we decide what we think, we're for the most part guessing, but we do have an understanding of how the games work. It's like that with no other sport for me more than it is with basketball. And so I am surprised when a pick I make is as off as this one was. I would have picked Bucks in 6 over, let's say, Raptors. And it's very, very surprised. But yeah, man. Interesting to see what happens with both these teams. Don't know if we'll see the Bucks return as the way we saw them. Don't know if Middleton will be back. They can keep Brogdon. But don't know if Middleton will be back. Don't know if Lopez will be back. Mirotić. Don't know if he will be back. And obviously, we don't know what Kawhi is going to do next year. Like, this is so much, the summer gets so much more interesting as the games go on. Yeah, you know, I think back to when Kevin Durant snapped at Ethan Sherwood-Strauss, the media for speculating and writing so much about free agency right there smack dab in the middle of the season while the basketball was going on. And I understood where he was coming from. Like, I think he's whiny for the most part, Kevin Durant is, but I thought he had a point there. And, hey, man, this is like, why do we have to talk about free agency in the summer when we're playing basketball? We're in the middle of playing basketball right now. I got that. But we're at a point now in the playoffs, in the postseason, where with each game and with each series, the offseason implications, the free agency implications just grow. Or the intrigue in these just grow. So it's like, what's Kawhi going to do? How does he – he's the greatest Raptor ever. He's a legend in Toronto, which – just let's be clear. Toronto over San Antonio, from what I understand. Like, people speak of Toronto in ways that they don't speak about San Antonio. I've been to San Antonio several times, a lot of times. Never been to Toronto. People speak about Toronto in ways that they do not speak about San Antonio. And he's the man there. He's a legend there today, right now. And I have no doubt that he's going to go into the finals and perform well also. So, like, does he leave that? Man, this is such an interesting question now. Does he leave that? Because, like, all of us have just assumed that he would, right? That he was going to the Clippers or that he was just, you know, whatever it was going to do his own thing. But, like, you really want to go to the Clippers now? Like, I know they showed this really scrappy, like, fortitude against the, I guess, the Warriors and everything. Like, they really showed themselves to be, like, respectable, and maybe even as an organization, the way they would do that after trading away possibly their best player in Tobias Harris. But Doc Rivers is there. But, like, what's going on with the Clippers that make you want to leave your situation in Toronto, or you go over there going to the finals? You go over there and join the Clippers, and you got to go through the Warriors, the Rockets, Portland, Denver. Your old team, San Antonio, is always going to be there lurking too somewhere. As, like, you know, if you're a high seed, that could be your low seed matchup is the Spurs. Like, why do that? If Kawhi, man, you just got a chance to taste the East and see what it's like to rule the world. Like, if you're the best player in the league, it's a pretty good idea to go ahead and just play in the East. Ask LeBron James. Ask Michael Jordan. And to be fair to Michael, he played in the East and at times when it was when there were bloodbaths, to be fair to him. But he also played at times where whatever team he was on was going to be the overwhelming favorite. It got to that point. Very interesting. I don't think that the Raptors have a chance against the Warriors. I don't think. But, Bet, I feel like I should be done betting against them, right? Like, I feel like I should be done second-guessing them. Like, I should just let it be, you know, but that's just not what we do. We got to give our opinion or at least have an opinion on the series. Like, do we or don't we? Like, am I allowed to just, like, not have an opinion on the series? Since I've been wrong about the Raptors ever since they played the Sixers? No, I don't think they have anything for the Warriors. I don't think that they do. The fact of the matter just might be that no one does. If the Warriors are hitting shots the way that they sometimes and often do when they're playing in this kind of style and environment where KD's not there. And look, I'm not one of these people that's saying that they're better without KD because I don't believe that. I don't think you're better without possibly the best player in the game. But what they're doing is reminiscent of what made them so special several years ago. And that's just terrorizing you in the pick and roll and allowing Steph Curry to just run around chasing these screens, having guys chase these screens and until they catch you sleeping. or until he's just not even that, he just finds a little wiggle room, and then there it is, him and Clay, allowing Draymond to push the pace. I mean, this guy, this is the guy who's getting the rebound, right? Well, Draymond's got the ability to push the ball up the floor, and so he can initiate the offense, and he's felt a lot more free to do that, I think, without Kevin Durant out there. He's felt a lot more free to facilitate and see to it that Clay and Steph are in their best position. That's the way this thing has gone down the last several games, especially against Portland, which stood no chance. No chance. Toronto's better than Portland. At least their best player is better than Portland. Their best player could very well be the best player that there is. Toronto's, that is, and Kawhi Leonard. And that's what makes this series so interesting, especially with Kevin Durant not out there. He's not gonna be out there for game one. He might not be back at all, which means that Toronto does have the best player in the series. Kawhi Leonard is going to be the best player on the floor. And I would say that he might be better than a hobbled Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, for my money, is the best player in the league. But a hobbled Kevin Durant, I would not take against this Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's been limping, right? He's got injury issues, but he's playing like a monster. Like a complete monster. And so we'll see what does that dichotomy produce? The game's best player versus the game's best team. I mean, is this basically Warriors versus LeBron 2.0? We saw a scenario where that worked for the team with the best player playing the better team. We've seen that go both ways. Yeah, this is not a lock by any means. Like, I look at the Warriors and they seem like the most dangerous team, but I do not know if I can rely on Fred VanVleet. If I can rely on Kyle Lowry in the finals. Yo, Kyle Lowry is going to play in the finals. I want y'all to just grasp that for a sec. Is Marc Gasol playable? Like, if the Rockets couldn't play Clint Capella, against the Warriors, then how's Marc Gasol going to fit into this whole thing? Because I feel like they need him. Like, the Raptors need Marc Gasol to be a plus player, to be an effective player for them to stand a chance. I mean, he's too good of a player to be on the team to not get anything from. But I don't know if they can play him or how much they'll be able to play him. I mean, obviously he'll be up against Kevon Looney and the likes, and Looney, by the way, has like really shown himself to be amazing. But I don't know what the matchups are gonna look like. I'm really excited to see what the finals